Don't know. Suck it down.
You got it.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the exploding barrel world of exploding barrels. I am Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Hatch Guy.
I am the Minotti family, AJ Minotti.
Yeah. So obviously the second choice for the theme parks. Welcome to the show. Universal has announced their new park, which I'm going to call the third theme park. I have been calling it that.
Yeah, I know they think Volcano Bay counts as the third theme park and this is the fourth, but it's a water park.
It's a nice water park.
Call what it is.
It's not, but they're like, this is actually just a theme park. Well, then Disney World has five theme parks then, or six.
Six, yeah.
Excuse me. Anyway, so we'll talk about that and some other things. You've been playing Fire Emblem.
Yay.
So we can finally talk about that as equals. Not really, because I beat it.
Yeah, aren't you cool?
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so the announcement finally happened today. It is Universal's Epic Universe. Why couldn't they have just done Epic Worlds at that point?
Yeah, Epic something. Well, Mike, a universe is bigger than a world. Wink.
It's such a weird, I don't know. It's just like, it's not a very exciting. It's like a weird name for a theme park. Epic Universe. Epic Universe. At least not call it Universal Epic Universe. Like Epic, or even just Epic Universal. I don't know. What do I know? I'm sure they ran things and whatnot. Yeah, but
focus tested it.
Yeah. But
everything takes place on Earth, doesn't it?
Yeah. Islands of Adventure is such a cool name for a park.
Islands of Adventure is a good name. It fits the theme. They're all islands.
Right. I mean, what are they going to call this? Like weird little pizza slices of different lands. So, yeah, they didn't say much. They confirmed the name and they released a pretty nice concept art with nothing labeled, but you can kind of you can very clearly see Nintendo Land with both the Mushroom Kingdom aspect and the Donkey Kong aspect.
It's just so funny because like their reasoning is like, you know, they're saying, like, this is going to take a while to build, and we don't want to give up any competitive secrets. And, I mean, you wrote a very nice article about all the kind of details of what will probably go into Nintendo World even before this announcement today. I mean, if you could figure all that out, I'm sure the Imagineers and whoever else at Disney knows what's going on.
I wrote a story mostly with Alicia Stella from OrlandoParkStop.com. She's been kind of at the forefront of a lot of the rumors that have been surrounding this park forever. Like she found out when they filed the trademarks for both Fantastic Worlds and Epic Universe. So it was really a lot of her work that I kind of just echoed. But it's like, all right. And she like was one to label it like, look, there's where Nintendo is.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure that's where the
Universal Monsters, Fantastic Beasts, and How to Train Your Dragon.
A motley crew
of IP.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, Fantastic Beasts, yeah, more Harry Potter. Universal Monsters, I mean,
no, that one's great. I'm excited about that.
As long as it sticks to the classics, though, I wonder if they're like secretly like, the Dark Universe didn't work out.
I think it'll be more interesting to just do like the classic monsters. Like, I imagine this will be the place with like the dark ride that is very much kind of like just like one of those super dark ride things. Uh-huh. And you counter all the monsters.
But like, no offense, I know you like these movies, and although you haven't even seen the third one, but How to Train Your Dragon is a weird choice to anchor.
Thematically,
it's not like they're making more of the movies, are they?
I don't know.
I guess they could.
Thematically, it's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You can just make that work. Village. Dragons are good. I get it. I mean,
I'm glad to see a dueling roller coaster themed around dragons. Right. What a unique concept.
I don't know what else you could do as far as like DreamWorks. It's either that or Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda would have been cool,
yeah.
Also, I guess. Well, there already is that Kung Fu Panda movie at least Hollywood. I don't think it's in Orlando yet.
There's two other Harry Potter lands that didn't stop them.
Yeah. Fantastic Beasts, it's like, I get it. It's a little weird, though, because, like, the last movie did not do very well.
There's what, three more? Yeah, it'll be fine.
What if they're all bad?
What
if they keep making less money, Ash Guy?
Sure.
The next one is going to be the one that followed the one people didn't like. That's true. Also didn't do well. So I don't know. Maybe it's not okay. But it's like, obviously they want to do Harry Potter, and what else do you do after you've done Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade? Mm. Are there any other like focal point areas? Unless you just like straight up do the Ministry of Magic, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that you could do like little whinging, I guess, if you really wanted to.
Little what?
Is that where he's from?
No.
What's the name of his little town? Am I screwing that up?
I don't remember, but yeah, go hide under in the closet under the stairs.
Yeah, encounter the Dementors, ride the night bus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Night bus.
I'm stretching. Azkaban, there you go. Make Azkaban.
It's a prison.
Yeah, go there and get your soul sucked out. Yeah, be great. Cool. Yeah. That'd be great.
No, thanks. So, yeah, what's weird is just how big the kind of like main thoroughfare. It's not like a main street. It's much bigger than
one
that.
One of the rumors I'd read a while ago, and yeah, it does seem to look like this, is the park isn't going to have a traditional front gate entrance. Like, the hub will be where all the shops and dining are, or most of it, and that'll just be free to enter. And then when you go into any of the themed lands, they'll basically have the ticket booths there.
See, it sounds a little annoying, though. Like, you have to keep going back in and out of different, like, entrances to all the different lands.
I wonder if there's, like, some kind of interconnected thing for the lands themselves, like, once you're in, like, a train sort of thing.
I don't know.
Like, it wasn't on the concept art, but I mean,
and you also see the hotel at the end of it.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, those people don't have to have park admission or something to get to their hotel.
Exactly. So Hal Bowers, who is one of the co-hosts of Retro WW, was tweeting a lot, and he kind of pointed out, when you kind of really look at this concept art, it doesn't look like there's any obvious space for queues, and there's a lot of like open areas and interactive looking exhibit spaces. So he's wondering if
virtual queue.
Yeah, this will be like a completely queueless park.
This will be the first time that they'll be able to like build a park with that stuff in mind. Yeah. I mean, that's what's weird. That's what's interesting about this, is that this does look like something pretty different.
Yeah, well, Volcano Bay was a prototype of that. Like, they have their
Tapu Tapu. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, this is the first major theme park to be built
since Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, since Animal Kingdom in Orlando, or really by either, by at least stateside, by Disney or Universal. So it is kind of interesting.
It just was weird, like, for as much as they were kind of hyping up this event, if you want to call it that, I mean, really, it was a bit of a dog and pony show for the governor and the mayor to be like, look at all these jobs we're going to bring.
Oh, sure.
You know, whatever.
No,
that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I mean, you could at least tell us, here's where Nintendo World's going. Right. Like,
yeah.
Label the lands at least. Like, right. It's like we don't know.
Nah, for sure. It's a little bizarre.
But yeah, it's going to be cool. I mean, based on, you know, after reading your Mario article, which everyone should go to gamesbeat.com and read, that all sounds absolutely incredible.
Right. So, yeah, if you don't know, Nintendo Land is like the rides that are supposed to go in there. The Mario Kart ride, I think everyone knows about.
The show building is huge. Yeah, it's the concept art.
And then there's like a Yoshi Dark ride where it kind of goes around about the land. Each person's on their own Yoshi. And this is supposed to be like very much in like not a screen ride. Like, there's gonna be a lot of animatronics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like a Donkey Kong Country like almost section, and it has a like a Mine Train ride like in the games, and like it looks like you're on a track. But, like, you're actually, like, your track system's actually kind of, like, under the car and to the left of it, so that you can jump gaps, quote-unquote.
Yeah, there's a pattern you could find where it's, like, the train cars are attached to an arm on the side that goes down and under, and that's where the actual track is. So, like, the what appears to be, the theme track is completely superfluous and just
right
there to look you can, like, you're jumping gaps and all this
stuff. So you can jump, I wonder if we're going to get, like, are we going to have theme parks again where like the park itself has a theme, because there's really no, and Islands of Adventure is basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's no actual theme unifying the park. There's maybe like a concept,
right, which I think you get away with even more if they are doing these kind of separate entrance kind of thing,
right? But yeah, it almost is basically like, here's four mini parks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, they even have expansion pads, and it could be like literally anything can go in.
Yeah,
and I mean, to be fair, that's what like basically has been happening to theme parks anyways. I mean, even throwing Avatar and Animal Kingdom, like that could go anywhere. Like the fact that the same exact Star Wars land has gone into Disneyland and Hollywood Studios, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of just, it's like, it's all about these kind of mini theme parks inside of theme parks now.
The other thing they didn't talk about is how are they going to connect the two parts of Universal Resort now?
Yeah, because these are not,
like a couple miles away, right?
Right. I mean, everything, City Walk, Islands Adventure, and the Studios Park are all in that kind of complex, like, it's walking distance, there's boats. This is a little further away.
It's across the highway, right?
It's still on like Universal Drive or whatever that's called, but there's got to be some kind of a system and you imagine there's going to be something beyond just a bus, right? Right,
you would hope.
Right, so that'll be interesting.
So how far off do you think this is? Like 4 years?
2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not conceding the 50th anniversary to Disney, but they'll definitely kind of have that to themselves. Mm-hmm. I remember when like these rumors were first starting, the thought was that this was like a 2021 thing.
Well, that's
when
they kind of dragged their feet. That's when Mario was going to just go into the Fiverr area and be just part of the studios park.
Right. So like, what, do they have anything else going into the rest of Universal? Or
well, Hollywood just had their Jurassic World refurb, right. So you have to imagine that's going to come to Florida next.
Well, because they are building that roller coaster for Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that is in that space that used to be occupied by the Meet the Triceratops.
Right.
I'll tell you, I watched the ride through of the Jurassic World.
I watched it.
Yeah, it's not as good.
Really? Everyone seems really high on it.
Maybe it's better in person, but like, you know, the first bit is a screen.
Yeah.
They get rid of the cool moment where you like go through the gates of Jurassic Park and the music does its thing. In the original version, you go through that gate and the first thing you see is a brachiosaur animatronic who like lifts its head out of the water and it's like 30 feet tall. It's very impressive, and that's all gone. It's you're in a, you know, a water tank screen and the thing swims at you. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the horrifying thing from the movie who tortured that woman.
Yes, that one. Yeah. And then like the big change at the end is like the T-Rex still comes out and he's floating there. Like the way they designed theirs is weird. He's obviously just standing on nothing, but they put the other bad dinosaur, his head's like just sticking out to the side.
Yeah.
He's just like, rah, I'm over here. Like the T-Rex isn't like interacting with him at all. He's like just doing what he's always done.
Hmm.
I guess I just spoiled the ride. Maybe I should have said something.
I think everyone will be okay. There's dinosaurs.
Yes.
That's all right. Yeah, I watched the ride through because I'm not going on no big drop ride. That's for sure.
But let's see what else. Nothing they've announced.
No, that's
I mean for islands or studios.
I think, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's things happening, but what is actually happening with the Five-O Land area?
It's staying. It'll be there forever.
What's going in where Terminator 2 3D was? Because they closed that finally. Sadly,
wasn't that going to be a Kung Fu Panda or a DreamWorks thing?
That would go into Shrek, but Shrek's still there, and you know. And
no, I thought it was like some weird wraparound screen they were putting in.
I don't know.
I remember reading about vague rumors.
I mean, Hollywood's getting a Secret Life of Pets ride. But they started building it before the sequel came out, and the sequel didn't do very well. So I don't know if they're going to be too eager to bring that over to other areas. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. So there's two expansion pads in
the universe.
Oh, yeah, it's such an epic universe. Epic, which you can like clearly see. It's almost like when you look at like an overhead thing of a World Showcase, you can clearly see where like new countries could go. So, like, what two things would you like to see there that we don't?
Let's see. I'm trying to think what else Universal owns and what that park needs.
I mean, keep in mind that so many of the things they do are licensed. I mean, half the ones. Wait,
Harry Potter. They don't
own DreamWorks either. Really, that's not Universal.
Is it?
Technically, I
forget.
They don't. Yeah,
DreamWorks bounced around so much. No, it seems like
DreamWorks was its own just company. Right?
Well, let's see. Obviously, you get the Captain Underpants.
So the only thing there that they actually own, I think, is the Universal monsters that are old.
Well, they need some kind of sci-fi property, it feels like. Huh.
Well, I mean, Star Trek is still out there.
Yep.
But, yeah. I feel like people would still be too afraid to make a whole big theme park thing, which is too bad, it'd be awesome.
Right.
But, I mean, I'd be super into it. But Star Trek is still...
What other sci-fi thing to compete against Star Wars
I mean, that would be the choice, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, the other things to do... That's kind of one of the things about How to Train Your Dragon and even the Harry Potter thing, especially with, like, kind of Game of Thrones floating around. There's a big fantasy property right now. And Lord of the Rings is still out there. Maybe, who knows? I'm sure people have been trying to get those rights, and there's trouble there or whatever. Mm. But,
Well, the trouble there is, what do you base it on?
Just make Hobbiton, whatever.
But like,
what's the ride?
Does it look like the movies, or is it the
it's gotta look like the movies.
I agree, it's gotta look
like the movies. But
the estate didn't like the movies, so
yeah. Well, the estate might like money. I don't know. I mean, the estate is still letting Amazon do whatever they're doing. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know what else. I'd almost kind of wish like one of them was just more Nintendo stuff. Like instead of the Mario things, we get like a Zelda area.
Yeah, and that could like, just be your medieval thing.
Yeah, you want a sci-fi thing? How about Metroid?
There you go.
Probably not.
Or there Star you go. But, ooh.
Yeah, right. I mean, like Star Fox, that's weird, but we're getting like a whole mini Donkey Kong Country land now.
You're right.
Although, like, Donkey Kong Country was actually like one of the best selling games on the Super Nintendo by far. It was I always kind of forget
like how mind blowing those graphics were in the mid 90s.
Right. Man, I'm like wondering about what a Star Trek land would look like, because if it happened like 6 years ago, it would have been obviously like an Abrams universe thing.
Right.
Now there's all these new shows. I mean, I would love it if it was just 24th century stuff like TNG, DC9. Yeah,
just go
that's
to that.
Still my favorite aesthetic. Yeah,
it's safe. Everyone likes it.
Yeah, just, you know, just
get the Enterprise D in there.
Put me in the 10 forward or in the promenade on Deep Space Nine, and I'd be pretty happy. But that's like Star Trek changes so often. It's kind of hard to make a land on it.
That's why I think you just stick to something familiar in the past, and that's your one.
Yeah, I will say. So, yeah, this park's not opening for a while. It's weird because, like, all this Disney stuff, not, like, wrapping up, but it's, like, all certainly happening now, you know? Mm-hmm. Star Wars is just about open in Florida. The Sky Buckets, what is it called?
Skyway.
Yeah, whatever. That's finally almost open. Ratatouille's getting there. Guardians of the Galaxy seems like it's kind of taking a while.
Yeah, I mean, they knew that would. You got Tron coming. Well, I mean, D23 is in a couple weeks.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is we're going to hear a lot about Epcot.
Yeah, and Marvel's going to be a lot of, too. It makes you wonder if they haven't figured out something else more to do with Marvel in Florida.
Yeah.
Because we'll get all the details of whatever's going into California Adventure. Apparently, part of the licensing thing that they're stuck in with Universal, they can't use Marvel in any of the names for anything. Neither park.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, they almost don't need, because like Avengers gets the job done for them, really.
Right.
More so than even the name Marvel. So that's okay. I'm interested about that Marvel land in California, because it almost seems like not as big a scale. I guess maybe because after Galaxy's Edge, it may be even they're like, maybe we don't need something, do something on that scope again. But like their Marvel land, like the Spider-Man ride sounds like basically Midway Mania. It doesn't sound as ambitious as you would imagine.
Well, we saw like the ride vehicles in that piece of concept art, and they have like it's like you're in like this little pod that has a glass frame in front of it. So I wonder if it's gonna have some kind of augmented reality component. It
probably will. So I'll be interested to see what happens. But again, that stuff can't really come to Orlando. Maybe, I don't know. I wonder if there ever is a fifth theme park that can go to Florida. See, I feel like no.
It because everyone's like, oh, they need more space to do stuff. I mean, look at all the expansion we just talked about. It if you combined it, it's a theme park's worth of stuff almost.
Right.
But to build a new theme park, you know, you're installing infrastructure and roadways and, you know, the stuff people don't think about when you're building in a swamp.
Yeah,
I just don't think it's necessary.
I mean, Hollywood Studios is obviously in a much better space, but there's still some room for there's things to do there to still kind of get that park fully back up to shape. So,
like I said, Epcot has what, 3 expansion pads in World Showcase?
Yeah, and they're redoing the middle section there, which I'm still kind of a little anxious about. Some people are like mad, but you know how Disney. I was laughing because there's some pictures of Liberty Square and Magic Kingdom. They bulldozed like a seating area outside in the courtyard. Mm-hmm. You would have thought that they took down Pirates of the Caribbean. You read the comments. Like, that was my favorite place. It's like these like essays like about how theme parks aren't just about rides and shows. It's also important to have nice, quiet places. Just like no one even knows what they're doing there.
Yeah.
Like that. Everyone's like, this was my
They could be just like fixing some pipes.
You would have thought like, this is where I proposed to my wife when this place is it. It's like, everybody calm down.
Right.
It's one of those, you know, there's nothing not sacred things.
Yeah. So
the major problem with Disney
it gets theme really park annoying fans really sometimes. Fast.
Right. They're all jumping at each other to be like, what do we think? Hagrid rides a failure. Galaxy Edge is a failure. Blah, blah, blah. We're mad that they changed this thing 20 years ago.
Yeah, go ask a 12-year-old what they think of Galaxy's Edge. I bet they
it. Yeah, I'm sure they're doing just fine. Anyway, so yeah, theme park stuff, that's that. How's Fire Emblem going?
Fire Emblem is real, real good, it turns out.
Yeah, so
I feel like I'm a contrarian, Mike. I picked the Blue Lions.
You picked... I've heard some people say that that class is a little racist. No?
No.
You're not getting that at all?
No.
Everyone says this.
And quite the opposite, actually.
Oh, well.
Because there's the one character, Dedu, who is from Deskar.
I know that. Yeah, I know about him. I assume that everybody must have, a lot of people must be mean to him.
No, everyone's super nice to him.
No, maybe you haven't gotten
to the racist parts yet. There is, like, in the world, some people like the Duskarians because they supposedly murdered the king. But, you know, all of your guys are, like, telling him, like, just because you're from Duskar, like, doesn't mean you're bad. Like, yeah, I saw that. I was like, what? No, not at all.
No, no.
I mean, I know, like, shit, like you know, stuff happens when you go into chapter two and there's a transition. Maybe something happens. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But everyone seems real nice so far. They're all very chivalrous. They're all kind of nice. The one guy's a bit of the other one, too. Everyone's like, oh, this guy's an incel. I'm like, he likes girls. He's a teenager. Like, let's everyone pump the brakes a little bit.
I thought incels hated women.
Yeah, it's like, what do you know?
I don't even know what incels are anymore.
They don't either. I mean, I won't. Never mind.
Yeah, it's like.
Don't take me down that road. But I really like the flow of the game.
Like the whole kind of, you know, school, teaching.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that. I mean, the games have always been very well written, going back to Awakening in particular.
Right.
And this is really nailing that. It really nails down that feeling of being at a school.
Are you like me, oddly impressed, even though, like, I guess in 2019 it should be that big a deal. But it's like, this game's fully voice acted.
A little bit.
Like, you know, Nintendo, for Nintendo, like,
strategy RPG.
And I guess I guess Echoes, that remake of, like, the second Fire Emblem game on 3DS was the first one actually that was fully voice acted. But I'm still like, whoa, wow. They
don't I didn't play that at all. So, no. Yeah, I mean, like, the presentation is great. The concept of the battles where you have your battalions with you and they're all fighting in the background as you're doing your fights. What's really impressive to me is, like, the map is the battleground. Like, the camera literally does just zoom down and that's where the fights take place. Like it's not like a separate space. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, little things like that. It's just, it just feels really good to play. It was very jarring at first. I still haven't quite wrapped my head around it, but to not have the weapon triangle anymore.
Yeah, it's just really mostly about stats now.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I kind of miss, like, it a little bit,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, it was, that rock, paper, scissor element was fun, but, you know.
Like, well, it added a thing of strength. Like, now a lot of times really is just, who's my strongest guy?
Well, yeah, there's still lines. Like, okay, so, like, I've been fighting a lot of armored guys. So I was like, okay, I need my two mages.
Yeah,
I know this guy has one of his combat arts is like a armor breaker.
Right. Like, so that's the combat arts kind of makes up for that stuff.
And sometimes the gambits.
I mean, there's still some of it. Like, obviously, like, the flyers are still weak to
archers. Yeah.
So it's OK. But I played through on the Black Eagles, even though I think of them as Team Red. I don't know.
They're kind of black and red.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm actually doing New Game Plus now with the Golden
Deer.
I never
done
do Gold
before.
Game Plus. Well, so I was on the US Gamer RPG podcast, the Acts of the Blood God, and talking about Fire Emblem with Capelli and the reviews editor of GameSpot, too. And I was shocked hearing just how different Act 2 is depending on what class you pick. And I, like, kind of want to see it now.
Yeah, like I mean, it's almost does feel like it's kind of got to be three games in there. Like, right. Even just for where I am, which is still pretty early, it's like, this has got to be completely different.
And, like, there is some new game stuff, New Game Plus stuff that you get to do, some carryovers and some new things that open up. Plus, I'm doing it on hard mode this time now. Like I said, my only real complaint about the game was it being a little easy. So,
well, does hard mode address that for
I'm
you?
Not far enough in yet to know. It's still been relatively easy, really. So we'll
I'm
find.
Glad they put, like, they have that rewind mechanic.
Yeah, I like that, because it undoes a stupid mistake.
It just means you don't have to reset your Switch. Like, just push this button. We know you were going to do that anyway.
Right. I mean, you still only have so many of them. It's not like you can just constantly.
Yeah, you can't abuse it.
Yeah, keep messing up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've used it once so far, and it was like my first round. I was like, kind of just wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh, that guy's dead.
So that's Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's super good. I just like all the exploring the school and, like, you're finding items and talking to people.
You think you're gonna try to recruit people from the other class?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, like, there's that feature you get pretty early on where you can, like, borrow somebody for a month.
Yeah.
And I've just been getting the one girl who I know is a healer, so I have another healer.
Yeah.
So that's been working pretty well. You know her. The other hot one with the hat.
Oh, Dorothea.
Dorothea, that's
you're still
it.
In my Dorothea.
That's right.
She's not even the best. Linhardt's the better healer from my class.
Oh, I didn't know who he was. I just knew she was.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know why you picked her.
Yeah.
I do like
She's
like
got very
hat.
Big heals.
That's right. The game is actually not as much of a waifu simulator as some of the past Fire Emblems, which is surprising.
Oh, no, but it's still plenty horny. Manuela walks into that first cutscene. It's literally the camera zoomed in on her bouncing bosom. It's like, oh.
Manuela's kind of portrayed as being kind of sad and pathetic, though, to be fair.
I know. But she still also has...
Yes, she does.
You know, very exposed cleavage.
Yes, she does. And on that note, what else are we going to move on to?
Not
a day for great transitions.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place. It's been a long week.
Yeah, I mean, I've been basically playing Fire Emblem and World of Warcraft.
Yeah, playing Dauntless still. I don't think anyone needs to hear me talk about Dauntless. I still really like that game.
Yeah. I was watching you play it for the first time. It looked even more like Monster Hunter than I thought
it
would.
Telling you people to play it with me, but no one will play it with me.
What do you want me to do? I'm playing World of Warcraft. I'm trying to play Warframe to make you happy too. I want to play more Final Fantasy 14. It's just like all these games are just these live service games.
And I know
they kind of are like the ones I like to play anymore.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, it's like I just enjoy these kind of games. Like I think part of it is like. I have such long days between work and kids. Yeah. And like, I just kind of want to shut my brain down and grind in these games a little bit. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. What do you think about Ninja going to Mixer?
I think it's pretty interesting.
Man, it's crazy how Microsoft, if all else fails, can just throw money at a problem,
right?
Man. I mean, that's what they're doing with what they did with the first party problem they had. They just like, we're just going to buy a bunch of
Red
studios.
Wing problem.
Right. It's like, okay, we'll just buy Ninja.
Yeah.
It's like, and I don't mean it like Ninja sold out. Who gives a shit? You know, but obviously, like, yeah, they probably threw a ton of money at it because it can't be easy. Yeah. You have to compensate him for just dropping all those subscribers.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, based on some rough metrics, I think he was at like the 20,000 subscriber mark when like kind of last we knew, which was nowhere near his peak in like 2018. He was in like the 200,000 mark.
Right. It just kind of gives him a little energy.
Well, no. But I think anymore, he's got so many sponsorship deals between Red Bull and Samsung.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not actually making most of
his money.
That's
not where his money comes
maybe
from
not,
anymore.
Maybe
so,
not.
So that almost doesn't even matter. So, I'm sure he got a pretty nice check, but it's not like, If the subs don't follow the Mixer, he's screwed. He's fine. As long as people are watching.
I can tell you one thing. That's going to be the biggest stream in Mixer's history when he does his first.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow is going to be. I'm going to watch it. I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, little...
I will say this because there's a guy I've been following on Mixer. He actually works on the Halo team, but he does streams throughout the week. And on Wednesdays, he builds PCs. I'm like in this weird kick of building PCs since I like rejiggered mine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been like a good stream I watch every Wednesday. And Mixer as a platform is a lot nicer than Twitch. It's just got more creature comforts.
Yeah.
Just kind of runs better too. Like it's hard to explain.
I'll tell you, the one interesting thing about this though is like, if this isn't like what can kind of boost Mixer up a bit more to be like more of a competitor, it's kind of like the nothing will be, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of the all or nothing move.
If you go on the iOS app charts, it's the number one downloaded app right now.
It reminds me of the time TNA went to Monday nights for a little bit. Like, we're going to reignite the Monday Night Wars against WWE.
Yeah.
And it went to, like 2 weeks later, they stopped. And it was like very clear at that point, okay, TNA is never going to be a big deal.
It'll be their make or break. I mean, it's not going to go away by any means. I found this out. I didn't quite catch this, but like so Gabe of Penny Arcade has been doing a lot of streaming, particularly with his family, like the last few months. And I knew he kind of jumped over to Mixer. I thought it was just more because he was like, oh, this is kind of neat. I could like do some interactivity. But a lot of it was because he was legit pissed about the whole Dr. Disrespect thing.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, you know. I found his blog post that he kind of retweeted it and I actually went back and read it. He said like, you know, plus Mixer is not a platform where they allow people who film in bathrooms to stream on their platform. Something like that.
Weird.
I was like, oh, okay, good on you for taking a stand.
I have a feeling Microsoft would be more than happy to have Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, he didn't do anything on their platform.
Yeah, I don't think their moral scruples would be all that.
But there's like, you see what his ban was 2 weeks. There was that guy. He like, for less than 2 seconds, showed a Hitler skin in Minecraft. Like, he forgot he had it equipped for some video he was making. And he got, like, a 30-day ban.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like, what?
It's obvious favoritism.
It's like showing Hitler against the rules. I mean, you could stream Wolfenstein, right?
Who knows?
I don't know.
It's
whatever. Weird. It's all weird. Jeff was trying to say, Jeff Grubb, Like MLG did this in 2014 when they tried to get PewDiePie's podcast exclusively on their platform. He's saying that's why this won't work. But 5 years ago, that's such a different landscape. Well, one, who was watching live podcasts on anything, you know?
It's one thing if, like, PewDiePie's videos were only on this thing.
Yeah, not YouTube.
His podcast is just, like, one, like, a spinoff of what he does. Like, this is what Ninja does, is stream.
This is his bread and butter.
So, yeah.
And, you know, Fortnite Season 10 launched today.
That blew up the mechs.
Yeah, so, like you know, that's a good starting point for all this, and, I think it has potential to be big. I mean, if nothing else, it just gets people to open Mixer. Like, that's what you need.
Speaking of streaming, so I was, like, you know, writing about Teamfight Tactics. Oddly enough, like, yesterday, Riot Games, like, we were announcing this is a permanent mode. I was like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so that was, like, the most popular game on Twitch that moment.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Dota Underlords was, like, significantly far behind.
That's surprising.
Yeah, it surprised me. I mean, I know Dota is, I mean, I know that League of Legends is more popular than Dota 2, but I guess I thought, like, I mean, the margin is nuts if you look at it.
Like I said, for me personally, I've just been kind of sticking with Dota Underlords if I'm going to play it auto chess, just because it's mobile, and it's just nice to have that flexibility. Plus, unless they've updated it some more, I do not like the UI in Teamfight Tactics. I don't think it shows you enough.
I haven't even tried any of these games.
You yet. Should. I mean, they're fun. Yeah, I enjoy it.
I've got so many things I'm playing.
That's why you get the phone version. You play that when you're busy doing other things.
I don't play games on my phone.
Weirdo.
If I'm doing something on my phone, I'm just, like, browsing the internet, watching a video.
You're gonna play Diablo Immortal with me?
Diablo Immortal, I'll check out. I'm doing the Audible thing now, listening to. Well, it's funny because, like, I really liked Hardcore History, like, that podcast. Like, why aren't there more, like, super long form podcasts just about history? Because, like, the nice thing about it was, like, each episode was, like, 5 hours long, so I could, like, really put it on for. It would, like, it would last me for days, and I'm like, wait a second, people narrate books.
And yeah, books on audio now.
Right, so I'm listening to The Bully Pulpit, and I can't remember the guy who writes it, but it's the guy who did that Lincoln book that everyone was talking about when Obama was running for president, the Team of Rivals, also the one that Spielberg's movie is kind of based off of, too. So, but this one's about Teddy Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and the kind of age of journalism.
It's like the Avengers of U.S. politics.
That's
right there.
Exactly right. And it's fun. It's fun because, like, Poland, Ohio, or small town got mentioned by name at one point.
How weird.
Because
ears perk up when you hear that.
Yeah. I was walking around, like, Poland, Ohio, like, listening to this, and I was like, no, then it was one of the Muckraker journalists, Tarbell, Ida Tarbell. To join this magazine called McClure's, which was very influential at the time, and they're kind of setting up, like, the team at McClure's and going through each one. It's like, and then she went and taught at Poland Seminary School at Poland, Ohio. I was like, what the hell?
I know where that is. Yeah, I'm like, it's here. Right over there.
I'm like, I'm here. It's bizarre. I was like so excited. I was like telling people, and it's like, you know, they don't. People weren't as excited. Yeah, I'm like,
Star-Lord, man.
Yeah. Well, like, the same school with Molly McKinley's actually was an alumni there, too.
Uh-huh.
More famously. Who also is he's entering the story now.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, he dies.
Oh, no.
And, yeah. It's not going to work out so well for Mr. McKinley. All right, I think that does it for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think I play anything else.
I mean, yeah, it's weird.
Did you play more Marvel by yourself?
No, after my review was done, I was kind of done with that, especially because I got Fire Emblem, right?
Yeah. We played Hero, the new character.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. And he's actually, he's I think he's fun.
Everyone's complaining he's too random, and for me, I'm like, great.
I mean, it's
basically, give me those critical hits. Yeah.
He is pretty random. I mean, it's kind of almost, it's kind of like Mr. Game & Watch, but almost a little bit more so, I guess. It doesn't bother me. Because
it's the smash attacks that are...
The critical hits is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then, but, like, also the spells. Like
the down B, and it brings up a literal JRPG spell menu, but it's always different.
But I like how creative it is. Like, there's actually, like, MP and stuff. He feels different. He's not just a sword character.
Yeah, he doesn't just feel like another, like, Fire Emblem guy with a sword.
The magic is almost more important than the sword thing. Yeah. So I think he's neat. No, I mean, I'm still more excited for Banjo.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
I'm still trying to figure out what the last two are going to be. I feel like it's got to be another Western and, like, an Eastern character combo, kind of like what they did with Banjo and Hero.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think Doomguy is a possibility. And I feel like the Japanese one is going to be something real out there and weird that we will not see coming. If it's going to be something boring, like, not boring, but when we're...
It'll be like the main character from Astral Chain or something.
No, it'll be like Leon Kennedy or something. Like,
I can see that. It was a GameCube game.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4 is on Switch. We've had Chris Redfield and Jill Valentine in fighting games, but not Leon Kennedy yet, actually.
I believe you're correct.
I believe so, Socrates. Hmm. So who knows? We'll see. But yeah, that does it for me. I'm tired.
Yeah,
we were out a bit last night too. We had our friend's birthday party. It was fun stuff.
It was a Harry Potter birthday party too.
Well, we didn't mean for it to be. The bar we went to was happened to have Harry Potter night.
So. I drank a butter beer. It was just Fireball and cream soda.
Sounds about right.
It wasn't bad.
Sounds about. I don't like butter. I don't like any approximation of butter beer. I don't like weird buttery, creamy soda you drink.
It wasn't buttery. It was just cream soda with some cinnamon.
I think actual butter beer like has some butter in
actual,
it.
Actual, yeah, but I'm saying what I had last night was not actual butter beer.
I'm going to beat you up.
I know.
That's it. You're done for. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
For forever. All right, thanks for listening. Oh, hey, by the way, our newest episode of 90s Disney is out. With the show we do with our other brother, Chris. This is our third episode. It's all about Tower of Terror and Sunset Boulevard.
Real good stuff
Disney,
in this one.
Disney MGM Studios back in the day, Hollywood Studios now. Very fun episode. So just definitely check that out. We go through like the architectural like background of the facades on the street,
which I did not know were so extensive.
And some of the engineering that goes on behind the ride. Really cool stuff. So check out 90s Disney and check us out, Exploding Barrel. We are, you know, everywhere. ebpodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, all the different stores. And yeah, we'll see you next week right here on Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.